Chapter 9, The Civil War. Chapter Preview, People. Mary Boykin Chestnut, Robert Anderson, Jefferson Davis, Abraham Lincoln, Alexander H. Stephens, P.G.T. Beauregard, William Tecumseh Sherman, Robert Smalls, Wade Hampton III, Francis Wilkinson Pickens. Places: Fort Sumter, St. Helena Island, James Island, Morris Island. Terms: Border States, Confederate States of America, Total War, Blockade, Freedmen, Casualties, Conscripted, Ironclad, Emancipation, Emancipation Proclamation, Hoarding, Speculation, Inflation, Siege, Forage. Mary Boykin Chestnut was the daughter of a governor and wife of James Chestnut, who later became a general in the Confederate Army. On the night of April 11 and 12, 1861, Mary was in the hotel in Charleston, and James was trying to convince the Union's Major Robert Anderson at Fort Sumter to surrender the fort to the Confederates. If the fort was not surrendered by 4 a.m., it would be attacked by cannon from the shore batteries. When 4 a.m. passed and no cannons fired, Mary thought Major Anderson must have surrendered. Perhaps the United States government was not going to force South Carolina to fight for her independence. But at 4:30 a.m., the cannons boomed and continued booming. Mary then followed everyone else's example and ran to the rooftop in her nightgown and shawl to watch the fantastic fireworks. She was frantic about her husband and concerned for her state and its people. She was fearful of what the politicians had done to her comfortable, if sometimes dull, life. Her life was to be dull no more. Like the main character in a good novel, she seemed to be in the center of action over the next 4 years. She had been in Montgomery, Alabama, in February, when the Confederate States of America was formed and its Constitution written. She was in Charleston for the opening shots of the war. She was in Richmond, Virginia, the Confederate capital, during much of the war. With James serving as special advisor to President Jefferson Davis, she knew all the major players. Near the end of the war, she and James returned to South Carolina as this state became the central stage. As she herself said, quote, "It was a way I had always to stumble on the real show," end quote. She not only observed the real show as a participant, but more importantly, she wrote about it. She kept a lengthy diary during the 4 years of the war. Afterwards, she spent years revising and adding and finally leaving to her readers a comprehensive first-hand account of the inner workings of the Confederate leadership. She was an acute observer and provided marvelous insights into the main characters of the great American drama, the Civil War. Section 1, The Coming of War. As you read, look for events leading up to the dramatic election of 1860, how Abraham Lincoln's election led to the secession of Deep South states and the formation of the Confederate States of America, the failure of efforts to compromise, the incident that started the Civil War, the fate of the border states. Terms: border states, Confederate States of America. The story of South America and the story of the United States are always intertwined, but in the coming of the Civil War, the two stories are the same story. The Civil War began here. The state's political leaders were the ones who made the decisions to secede and resist federal authority, decisions that pushed the entire nation into the internal struggle of civil war. The election of 1860. The election of 1860 had the most immediate and drastic consequences of any in our history. It is perhaps fitting that the drama of the election began in Charleston. The National Democratic Party held its convention there in April 1860 to nominate a presidential candidate. After 10 days of power struggle, primarily over the issue of slavery, the Charleston Convention could not produce a candidate. the convention adjourned to try again several weeks later in Baltimore. There, the convention split into two. The Northern Democrats nominated Stephen A. Douglas of Illinois. The Southern Democrats nominated John C. Breckinridge of Kentucky. The Democratic Party was one of the last great nationwide organizations helping hold the nation together. Its split, North from South, like the earlier split of religious denominations over the issue of slavery, was bad news for the cause of national unity. The Republican Party, organized only 6 years earlier, had an excellent opportunity to win the election with its major competitor split apart. Its convention avoided candidates who were too outspoken against slavery. The delegates nominated a moderate on the issue, Abraham Lincoln of Illinois. The party's position on slavery was to prevent its spread into the Western territories. The Republicans also adopted some positions popular in the North, promoting tariffs and internal improvements, including federal aid for privately owned railroads. Another party arose in the border states. The slave states between the Deep South and the Northern states, to try to hold the Union together. The Constitutional Union Party nominated John Bell of Tennessee and tried to promote compromise between strongly held Northern and Southern views. Abraham Lincoln and the Republican Party campaigned only in Northern states. Breckinridge ran only in the South. Only Douglas tried to run a national campaign. Breckinridge won the entire Lower South. Lincoln won all the Northern states, which had enough electoral votes to give him the victory. White South Carolinians were alarmed and up in arms. The Fire Eaters, who had urged secession for decades, now easily took control of the state. Secession. Abraham Lincoln argued that a democracy involves majority rule. A minority cannot secede in order to escape the decisions of a majority. Immediately after Lincoln's election, South Carolina's leaders took action to do exactly that. The legislature called a convention in December 1860 to consider secession. The convention first met in Columbia, but because of rumors of smallpox in the city, continued its deliberations in Charleston, where support for secession was even stronger. The delegates voted unanimously, 169-0, on December 20th for secession. In their Declaration of the Causes of Secession, the convention made clear that the threat to slavery and the Southern way of life represented by the election of Lincoln was the immediate reason for declaring independence from the United States. They stated, quote, "A geographical line has been drawn across the Union, and all the states north of that line have united in the election of a man to the high office of President of the United States, whose opinions and purposes are hostile to slavery. He has declared that that government cannot endure permanently half slave, half free, and that the public mind must rest in the belief that slavery is in the course of ultimate extinction." End quote. The Declaration invoked the doctrine of states' rights as a means of protecting states from actions of the federal government. The most extreme states' rights interpretation is the belief that a state has the constitutional right to leave the Union if the state's interests are threatened. Forming the Confederate States of America. By February 1861, six other states had followed South Carolina out of the Union: Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. The seven created the Confederate States of America, with its capital at first in Montgomery, Alabama. The Confederate Constitution was similar to that of the United States, but with a greater specific emphasis on states' rights. Jefferson Davis of Mississippi was elected president, and Alexander H. Stephens of Georgia was elected vice president. Stephens asserted that the new government was based on the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural condition. extensive efforts at compromise in early 1861 ended in failure. Those arguing the case for Lincoln and the Republican majority in Congress promised that slavery would be protected where it already existed. However, they could not accept the possibility of allowing slavery to be extended to other states and territories. Those arguing the case for the seceded states would not back down without assurances that slavery would be protected by the federal government and allowed to expand into new states and territories. These two arguments could not be reconciled, so the political struggle moved toward a fight as Abraham Lincoln was inaugurated president on March 4, 1861. The fighting starts. When the states seceded, they swiftly took control of most federal property and forts within their borders. But a few were harder to reach, such as Fort Sumter on an island in Charleston Harbor. The fort became a symbol of national authority that Lincoln was determined to maintain, but the fort was running out of supplies. In January 1861, Carolinians had fired on a supply ship, the Star of the West, and forced it away. When Lincoln became president, he announced he would send essential supplies for the survival of the men, but not weapons. He was careful not to appear the aggressor. If fighting broke out, it must be started by the Carolinians. South Carolina, having declared itself independent of the United States, could not tolerate this symbol of national authority at the gateway to its major port. The Confederate government was only 2 months old now, but it had mustered an army of 6,000 men in Charleston, commanded by General P.G.T. Beauregard. The general demanded the fort's surrender before the new supplies arrived. Major Robert Anderson, commander of the fort, refused. The Confederates began bombardment of the fort with their cannons and mortars on the morning of April 12, 1861. The Civil War was on. The garrison of the fort endured nearly 2 days of shelling before surrendering. Miraculously, the bombardment of more than 4,000 shells caused no deaths. While some South Carolinians were worried about what they had started, most seemed certain that their cause was just, their arms were strong, and their will was unbreakable. For several months, eager volunteers from South Carolina and other southern states poured into the ranks of the new Confederate Army. Few could foresee the tragic drama that would take 4 years to play out. Maybe one Charleston lawyer who opposed secession did see it coming. James L. Pettigrew said, "They've gone mad. South Carolina is too small to be a republic and too large to be a lunatic asylum." The border states. Lincoln's vigorous response to the attack on Fort Sumter was to call for 75,000 volunteers to put down the rebellion. This caused four of the border states, Virginia, Tennessee, Arkansas, and North Carolina, to join the Confederacy. Lincoln sent troops into the four remaining border states, Maryland, Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri, and they stayed in the Union. Now the Confederacy was complete with 11 states and a new capital at Richmond, Virginia. Both Confederate and United States Union governments were prepared for war. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form border states, Confederate States of America. 2. Who were the four presidential candidates in 1860 and what were their party affiliations? 3. Which border states remained in the Union and which joined the Confederacy? 4.